We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Fun, entertaining, knowledgeable.
All right.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Right.
Live and local, it's time for the Fan Morning Show with Bart Winkler.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Bart Winkler, Toby Altizer. And as always, we are here to chat with you. It's always interesting, the week after a playoff exit. I'd like to do a week after a Super Bowl win. I'd like to do that week. I wasn't around here in 2010 for the Super Bowl week. That's what I want. I'd like the NBA Finals post week. That was fun. Although I wonder if after a Super Bowl I'd sound like this as well and not be able to talk. We got a lot to get to today. Don Wachilis is going to be here at 7:40 of the College Sports Show. Don Wachilis is going to talk to us about a lot of stuff because the basketball programs in the state are doing very well. Top 25, both of them, the big ones, which I want to get Milwaukee in there, but Marquette and Wisconsin, both top 25, Marquette winning last night. We will talk to Ryan Wood, 8:15, PackersNews.com. Rami and I, our feud is escalating, and I want to end it. I want to end it, but then the Hall of Fame stuff. Rami, like, hates cheaters. Like, he's personally offended that Barry Bonds ever took to anything. Even though, I'll get into it with Rami, because it's like, it blows my mind how much I like and think I have in common with this guy. And then, when it comes to sports, like, I don't. So we'll talk to him later today, too. But we start with a bit of breaking news. Yeah. Not like overnight breaking news. Like, the last 3 minutes breaking news, which is around here. I mean, I don't know. I don't think this has ever happened. Sometimes news breaks at, like, 11:30. There's a late-night trade, and, you know, we bring it to you, and we're the first ones to talk about it. But we have legit breaking news. Yeah, and it's brought to you by BetQL. Become a better sports bettor. Get smarter to beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. It's breaking news that I don't think you're going to be surprised by. And actually, you may have already thought it happened already. But it's happening officially now. The Denver Broncos. Okay. Now, this could be like a million things, but the Denver Broncos are finalizing a deal, according to Tom Pelissero, NFL Network, to make Nathaniel Hackett their new head coach. They've been talking for the last couple of weeks. Nathaniel Hackett had another contract talk with them that heated up last night. Then it looked like Byron Leftwich was going to be the coach of the Jaguars. That has not happened yet. Nathaniel Hackett was going to interview there again. Of course, he spent some time there too. And instead, Denver's like, oh, no, 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 no. We are going to make this official and we're going to do it now. He first spoke to the Broncos on January 15th. That was in Green Bay. And then he had a second interview this Monday. So they lost. We were here on Monday. We were going off the deep end. Meanwhile, Nathaniel Hackett was in Denver interviewing with a conversation that went about 8 hours. and he emerged as their favorite. So Nathaniel Hackett is the new head coach of the Denver Broncos. This is the first hire of this cycle, which is pretty fascinating in and of itself. Now, there's been GMs that have been hired, the Bears and the Vikings locking up some GMs, but there hasn't been a coach hire. A lot of times these hires, they happen very quickly. I don't know if teams are waiting for the guys from the Chiefs or the Rams or whatever, but a lot of these hires, normally there's at least like, if there were 9 open jobs, there's at least 2 or 3 hires, but there hasn't been any yet. Well, now there is. Nathaniel Hackett, who was hired to be the Green Bay Packers offensive coordinator on January 14th, 2019, just after Matt LaFleur came aboard. So he's going to need a new offensive coordinator for the first time here. Nathaniel Hackett is 42 years old. He previously has spent time in Jacksonville as their quarterback coach and offensive coordinator. He was with the Bills as their offensive coordinator in 2013-14. He was in the college game for a while before that. He had a stop in Tampa Bay back in 06. So he's been in the coaching game for about 20 years. Right away, he went to UC Davis. He was in a linebackers coach there. Stanford, NFL, Syracuse, back to the NFL, Jacksonville, Green Bay, and now Denver. So Nathaniel Hackett is out. We're hoping for a change at one of these coordinator positions. We certainly are. We're hoping for Maurice Drayton to be fired. Unfortunately, sometimes you have to say, we never root for guys to lose their job, but, I mean, special teams, like, kind of cost us a lot this season, so we don't want him back. I always have to teeter that line, I feel like. But Nathaniel Hackett, gone, and now the questions will come up. I think there's going to be less questions about, all right, who do the Packers hire as offensive coordinator, as there is going to be, well, the connection now is Devontae and Rodgers want to go to Denver.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I think that probably plays a role in Denver bringing in a guy like Hackett. I think they like him, obviously, as a coach. They wouldn't do it if they didn't. But I think you look back at the Packers, and, you know, obviously everything looms with the Aaron Rodgers decision. That kind of overrides or is the main thing going on in Green Bay. But after that, trying to find a new offensive coordinator is going to be a big deal. I don't know if it's as big a deal when you have a guy like Matt LaFleur that kind of already runs the offense. He's going to be working kind of hand-in-hand with Matt LaFleur to get that offense ready. But you're going to have to get a new offensive coordinator. Hackett and LaFleur seem to work well together, and hopefully he can find someone that can get the job done as well as Hackett did. I think they said that they'll probably just promote somebody from in-house, so, you know, assuming no other Packers guys get a job. You know, Luke Getsy was getting some interviews, so maybe he just gets promoted up to offensive coordinator now. But it's going to be interesting to see what the Packers do, but I don't know how much of an impact this is going to have. Again, they have Matt LaFleur, and he's kind of the one that, while there is an offensive coordinator, Matt LaFleur is overseeing that offense for the most part while he oversees the whole football team. So I'm not that worried. Does it worry you at all that Hackett leaves?
No. I think the Packers have enough guys, and they're almost going to have to. I'd rather have Hackett stay than leave. So there's that. But I don't think it's like crippling. What's Nathaniel Hackett's war? how many wins is he going to cost the Packers next year? And also, I think they got bigger fish to fry right now than Nathaniel Hackett, unfortunately to say. But if you look at some of the guys that we've talked about throughout the year, like Luke Getsy, you mentioned, Adam Stenovich is a name that's really heating up, the offensive line coach. Ben Sermons is a running back coach that they like a lot. I don't know. Maybe there's somebody. I mean, I would have to think if I was a betting man, which I definitely am, in moderation, of course. And I do mean that. I had a problem and I got better at it. So I feel pretty good about that. I was thinking about that the other day. Yeah. Everything else that I have a problem with is like I go to extremes. Like I might need therapy about fast food, but gambling, I can do in moderation. I would bet that they do promote from within. Almost just to, like, save one of these guys from leaving, you know? Because you're going to lose Hackett, that's one thing. But then if you also lost Luke Getsy, which I think he was interviewing with Denver, too. I don't hear his name anywhere else. But Adam Stenovich is a guy that I wouldn't expect him to have a head coaching job this cycle. but maybe next year or the year after. At some point, Adam Stenovich, if he wants to be a head coach, I think is going to have the opportunity to be a head coach. So maybe you look at, like, protecting your guys, and Stenovich tells LaFleur, hey, look, I'm getting offers, man. Or Getsy says, hey, I'm getting offers, man. And, you know, when you get offers, your job has to either try to keep you by a little more scratch or a promotion and more money. And the Packers now have that available to them. They can promote from within and have a new offensive coordinator. Nathaniel Hackett did interview with the Falcons for their head coaching job last year. Aaron Rodgers actually reached out to endorse Hackett for the job. So they all want to see these guys succeed. The first video that we ever saw of Nathaniel Hackett when we were trying to figure out this guy who he was just, he was like a crazy guy on the Jacksonville practice facility. And players really respond to him. That's one thing that, you know, these guys are all saying about anybody that I just mentioned. The players do respond to him. Matt LaFleur does call the plays, but Hackett is as involved as you can be without calling the plays. And so I think Denver is going to be pretty excited about their hire, I think. You know, he's going to inject life a little bit into that facility. So Nathaniel Hackett, breaking news. How about that? Never happens at this hour. Nathaniel Hackett to the Denver Broncos. So, okay, the question, there's going to be two questions that come out of this for Packer fans is, well, who replaces Hackett? And then also, we're all going to, like, now assume that Denver's going to get Aaron Rodgers or be the front runner for Aaron Rodgers. And that's ultimately where the conversation is going to go back to a bunch. Now, if I'm Denver and I got... I don't know. I don't think that Denver, I'm trying to figure out what the percentage would be. If I'm Denver and I hire Hackett, how much of that hiring is because I think I might get Aaron Rodgers and or Devontae Adams? It better be zero. If you make the decision to hire a head coach just for like the off chance that you might get Aaron Rodgers traded to you, I think that's...
That's foolish.
I think that's irresponsible.
Yeah. I mean... Because I think going back to Washington, they brought in a guy like Scott Brooks to be the coach when Kevin Durant was going up for free agency.
Yeah.
And there was speculation that they bring him in because Scott Brooks was with KD back in with Oklahoma City. And if that's the case and that's why you brought him in, they saw what happened to Scott Brooks. He sucked. He was terrible. If you're going to bring in Nathaniel Hackett, you got to bring in Hackett because you like his ability. And I think he's going to be a good head coach. He, like you said, he's had plenty of experience. And working with a guy like LaFleur, we joked for a while there that everybody that had any sort of connection to Sean McVay was getting a head coaching job. And now you have LaFleur getting a head coaching job. And I think this tree of people branching off from the Shanahan, LaFleur, and McVay tree is just going to keep growing. You're hearing maybe the Rams are going to lose their offensive coordinator. You've seen, you know, San Francisco, some of their guys are leaving. So I think you're going to start seeing, because I know the Big Show yesterday was talking about, is Matt LaFleur a good head coach? Did we overrate him? I don't think we did, but either way, I think teams around the league like what Matt LaFleur's done, and they're going to want to get some of that success. And getting a guy like Nathaniel Hackett, where you have an offense that has had a back-to-back MVP in the fold. You've gone 13-3, 13-3, and 13-4, and getting the job done in the regular season, maybe not so in the playoffs, but they've seen that success. They want to be able to replicate that, and I don't think they're hiring Hackett just thinking, all right, maybe we'll get Rodgers here. Does it maybe help them? Sure, maybe it does, but they're hiring Nathaniel Hackett because he deserves the job, and I'm happy for Hackett, and I'll be interested to see what the Packers do to replace him.
Oh, I had a friend yesterday text me about that topic the Big Show is doing, which we kind of did. We talked a little bit about LaFleur, and he goes 39-10, and you know you've also had the number one seed in the NFC Championship game two of the 3 years, or number one seed in the NFC playoffs, I should say. Excuse me, two of the 3 years, but you haven't got it done. So we're just trying to figure out like what the issue is there. What's the disconnect? And the Big Show just came out and said, did we overrate the guy? I had a buddy text me, I'm driving around, had to get my hair cut. I'm listening to the Big Show. Question of the day is whether we've overrated LaFleur. That is nonsense. Then some dude from Appleton called and says he's no better than Barry Switzer. What are we doing here? Our fan base sucks. It's the most passionate set of people with no effing idea what they are talking about. Is that what you've gathered, Toby, about the Packers fan base?
It's very passionate. I was talking to a buddy yesterday who is not much of a Packers fan. He said, man, I'd love to be in Wisconsin right now to see what Packers fans are going through. But the very passionate fan base. And I think it's that question, like you said, we've kind of beat around the bush with it. We didn't necessarily address it maybe as bluntly as the Big Show did, but we've kind of beat around the bush. Like, look, Aaron Rodgers, if you're going to blame him, then at some point the blame's got to fall on the coach. And every single season after the playoff loss, you hear LaFleur say, well, I got to be better, and I'm going to, you know, we weren't prepared. And at some point that falls on the head coach. And I don't think he's overrated, but I think it's something that needs to be addressed. But I think he's right. Passionate fan base, and not everyone knows what they're talking about at times.
Yeah, that's funny. Tom Pelissero, so he's the one that tweeted the breaking news this morning. Nathaniel Hackett, Packers offensive coordinator, former offensive coordinator. He's the next coach of the Denver Broncos. I'm just looking at some of the comments off that tweet. The Nerm has a Photoshop already of Rodgers and Devontae in Denver. Jason says Rodgers to Denver confirmed. LA Rams fan zone says go in peace to Denver, Mr. Rodgers. The sports expert on YouTube says, well, Rodgers to Denver confirmed. Here's a good question from Mason. He says, why are the Broncos doing this at 5 a.m. their time? And then there's just a ton of Rodgers photoshops. So Broncos fans, they got a new head coach. They don't even care who he is or what he does. They just want Rodgers. It's like, I mean, does it get us Rodgers is what they're saying? What do I have to know about Nathaniel Hackett, they say? I don't care. Who cares? Does this mean Rodgers is coming here? So that's where Broncos fans seem to be at this morning. 414-799-1250. Nathaniel Hackett to the Denver Broncos. It is official. I'm Bart. That's Toby. More coming up here on The Fan.
I think they can run it back. Like, I know they're in some cap trouble, but the cap's going up, and it's, you know, somewhat significantly. And you could figure it out. Like, Devontae Adams will probably get franchised, or they'll do a new deal with him. So I don't think he's going anywhere. You know, they'll probably lose one of the Smith brothers, would be my guess. And there's some other, you know, Randall Cobb's on the books for like $9 million next year. He's probably not coming back, certainly not at that salary. And there's plenty of things they can do to reload, run it back, draft. I mean, they're in a really good spot. I know there's some cap things they need to do, but they're in a good spot to reload instead of just completely rebuild. And, you know, they're going to do everything they can to get Rodgers back. So all the things that they need to do to make him happy, I believe they are going to try to do.
That was Ian Rappaport on the Wings Things podcast. That's what I'm going to start saying now. When I play audio from other places, I'll just say it was on my podcast. You won't know, and it will make me sound cool. It was from the Pat McAfee Show, which every piece of audio that we've played this week is from. Keep up the grind, Pat McAfee. I'd love a little bit of that FanDuel money. I'm like a really little bit of that FanDuel money. FanDuel's giving this guy $50 million. Meanwhile, I'm basically setting lineups on air and losing my ass. Although not my ass. I do have my wagering out of control or in control. Actually, FanDuel, check this out. You want some promotion, FanDuel? They gave me a free dollar the other day. Just a free dollar. And I played a NBA contest with it. And I won a $5 ticket for a Super Bowl contest. So how about that? So things are looking up. For Barty. Things are looking up. But then yesterday, I also bought a $5 pack of cards at Walgreens, one of those boxes, and I got nobody good in there. And I just ended up letting my kid play with it for 20 minutes, and then I tossed the cards away. It was that bad. I like to keep commons sometimes, but, I mean, it was offensively bad, the lack of anybody that I got in this pack. I was really pissed.
Yeah, that would be frustrating.
Normally, like, there's those little Walgreens. They're in the toy section, as big as the toy section is. There's these little packs that say baseball or football. And the baseball, you get 100, and football, you get 50. And it's always like, most of the cards are out of a box, but then there is a pack. There's an old pack that you can unopen. You get a pack. And I've gotten okay cards in there. I got a Davante Adams rookie in there one time. So I like to buy old cards rather than the new cards. I like the new cards that look like the old cards. That's what I like. I just like to transplant myself back into that time. But I mean, this was the worst. I was so pissed. This was the worst I ever gotten.
That's understandable.
I almost like card by card went to return it to Walgreens. But every time I buy these things at Walgreens, they're like nobody ever knows what they are. They don't even know they sell them there. They always pick up the box and they look at them like, "What? Where's the UPC? They think that I brought it in and I want to just give Walgreens money for it. No, nobody knows they sell it. It's the craziest thing. All right, with what Ian Rappaport said there, Aaron Rodgers is somebody that the Packers want back, obviously. And he says they'll probably tag Devontae, which Devontae has tried not to say too much about it, but already is very outspoken that we know he does not want to be tagged in any way, shape, or form. Now, Nathaniel Hackett, a bit of breaking news this morning, is going to be the new head coach of the Denver Broncos. That, according to Tom Pelissero, also of the NFL Network. And I think Denver fans are going to make this connection. I think Packer fans are going to make this connection. I think the entire NFL today is going to make this connection that, oh, Denver, that was the spot that was rumored to want Rodgers. Denver hiring a guy that's worked with Rodgers for 3 years. Denver, the obvious spot for Aaron Rodgers, and they've got enough cap room where they could actually acquire Rodgers and Devontae. Now, Rappaport's saying what he said before the Denver news. I still think if Denver hired Nathaniel Hackett with more than a 0.00002% chance thinking it would get them Rodgers and Devontae, that's a very irresponsible hire. But it is, I mean, if he's going to get traded anywhere, I mean, I don't know how Denver's not the front runner at that point.
Yeah, Denver's for sure the front runner. I see a good tweet here from Mike Tannier. He says, you know, as we all know, Aaron Rodgers loves his superiors and is likely to follow them wherever they go. So let's not get carried away now. Just because Hackett leaves doesn't mean Rodgers now is done in Green Bay. He's for sure going to the Broncos. I think the most likely scenario would still be Aaron playing quarterback in Green Bay. Second most likely scenario would be him retiring. And then least likely, I mean, not saying there's a 0% chance, but the least likely of the three would be him going somewhere else. I'd assume Denver would be at the top of the list, though.
And again, the Packers are going to have to be the ones to initiate that. So Rodgers is not a free agent. I think what Rodgers has been able to do in talking about his future is really get us to think that he's in total control of his future. And he's not. Now, when the Packers and him kind of renegotiated a little bit of the language of his contract, essentially took a year off, they kind of told him, we'll trade you where you want to get traded. But from what I saw, and I think Andrew Brandt was one that reported this or talked about this, from what I saw, there's not a lot in there that's like, there's no language in there. There's nothing in the contract that says no trade clause. It's just the Packers and Rodgers were like, yeah, all right, come back. And then if we got to trade you, we'll do what you want. But they don't have to. They can trade Rodgers to Denver just tonight or whenever trading's open again without even asking Rodgers. They can just do it. They can trade him to Houston if they want. I think any options on the table, sure, you go back on your word, but you know, this is the NFL. Who cares about that?
If you want to know how little people value Nathaniel Hackett, the NFL Network was announcing the news this morning on Good Morning Football, and they showed clips of Packers coordinators, of which they showed Joe Barry.
Oh, no, really? They don't even know what he looks like?
I think they had one of them in there, but they were not all Nathaniel Hackett.
I guess, can I say, I think, just as I'm looking through their coaching staff, Hackett and Barry sort of could be confused for one another. Barry's got like the least amount of hair possible you could have where it still looks good. Like he's not balding. The hairline's receded, but he's still like the hair looks good. And then Nathaniel Hackett has no hair. But if you like swap their faces, It would totally work.
They're close. They are close.
Yeah.
They're not the same guy.
No, but you could face swap them and think they were two normal individuals. It doesn't look like it's, you know, I don't think I could put my face on your face.
Well, obviously.
but I think you could with these two guys. And really, how much video? Maybe there's just no video of Hackett out there. That was always a challenge. Like when I worked in TV and somebody would get hired or fired and it was a coordinator, they'd say, all right, Bart, go pull all of the, I can't even think of anybody, Sean Slocum video you can find. And I was like, excuse me? There's no video of Sean Slocum. So next thing you know, I'm on the phone with Sean Slocum's grandma. You got any home videos there, Grams? I need some for the newscast. I got nothing back here at the station. 414-799-1250, 414-799-1250. So Aaron Rodgers possibly could go to Denver. Davante Adams possibly could go to Denver. And I think if you're Denver, maybe you have that in the back of your mind. But again, if you are hiring Nathaniel Hackett because you want Aaron Rodgers, I think that there were other coaches out there that maybe were a better option. Because that's a great tweet from Mike Tanier. When does Rodgers, you know, he loves his superiors so much, he's of course going to follow them. No one's saying that he's going to go try to play for Dallas. But now he's going to all of a sudden go and try to play for the Denver Broncos and Nathaniel Hackett. So, but the Packers are in a situation here, and I do want to say this again. They are in control. Rodgers makes it seem like he is in control. The Packers at least have a lot more control than I think what the interpretation is. Rodgers has the control of, am I going to play? Am I going to come back or am I going to retire? Rodgers has that control. Because if he doesn't want to play, if he retires, well, that's his decision. And then you know, the Packers have to figure something out from there. So that's Rodgers' decision. But in terms of where he's playing, if Rodgers is playing, it's probably in Green Bay. It's probably in Green Bay. Now, throughout the week, I've been, you know, pretty animated that I'm tired of this whole experience. And I'd love to move on. And that's me as a fan. If you're the Green Bay Packers organization, you know, I'm sure you're a little tired with some of the stuff that goes on. And you're kind of like, dude, Lazard was open. But if you look ahead to next year, that's what they got to do. They got to either look ahead to next year or they got to look ahead to the next 5 years. What do the Packers think is more likely? That they're going to win a Super Bowl with Rodgers next year? Or they're going to win a Super Bowl without Rodgers in the next 5 years. Because whatever the answer to that question is what the Packers have to do. Because if they keep Rodgers, then after that, then he can walk. Then it is free agent time. And Rodgers can go anywhere. And then you get nothing for him. Maybe a compensatory pick. I don't know how that works. But it's not like, Rodgers leaves, you get a third rounder, who cares? And then he can go anywhere he wants. Including in the NFC, which you could still do if you got, you know, traded, unless there was a reworking of the deal. I guess they could do that. I guess they could come and give him a new deal. Do you want the Packers to give a new deal to Aaron Rodgers? I don't think a lot of people are even thinking that's an option. Do you want, if the Packers say we've changed the deal with Rodgers, it is a 3-year deal, guaranteed money. So suddenly you have him at age 39, 40, and 41. And you saw how he played in the cold at age 38? Is that a win? Well, what's Rodgers going to look like at 41? I know that there were some questions about Rodgers at 36. What's he going to look like at 37, 38? And what he has looked like in the regular season is a world beater, man. He's going to be the MVP again. But what he has looked like in the playoffs has been a completely different story, especially when everything is on the line. This tweet from Zach Jacobson yesterday: Rodgers was 4-for-7 for 17 yards in the fourth quarter on Saturday, and then he was 4-for-11 for 54 yards in the fourth quarter in last year's NFC Championship game with multiple opportunities to win both games. Awful for any QB at home in the playoffs, let alone one who holds himself to such a high standard. So, yeah, I love the fact that if you have Rodgers, you're in the playoffs. There's no question about that. And you're likely getting a home playoff game. But if you can't do anything with it, then what's the point? But with the Packers next year, and this is what we were talking about yesterday, the NFC is going to be as wide open as ever. I mean, the teams right now, the Rams and the 49ers, okay, you can expect that they'll be back, but you would think that the Packers are better. The Packers are better. They beat them both. But then the Niners came in here and won like a one out of a million type of game. Packers should beat the Niners 9 times out of 10. That was a time that the Niners won that football game. But you would think that you have a leg up over them next season. You'd be favored over them. Tampa Bay, if they lose Tom Brady, that's pretty massive. And I do wonder if Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers are kind of looking at each other saying, who's going to retire first? Because if you retire, I can't retire. If Brady retires, Rodgers can't retire. Path is wide open. If Rodgers retires, Brady can't retire. Path is wide open for his 8th Super Bowl. You can't walk away from that. The one guy in the division, in the conference, that can like match you as a quarterback is retiring. Well, who's Brady going to be afraid of? Matt Stafford? Sure, Matt Stafford had a nice game the other day. But Matt Stafford's had a very roller coaster season. Kudos to him. He's further along than Rodgers and Brady. And beat Brady to get there, but I think Brady still look at a higher regard than Matt Stafford. Dak Prescott? I love Dak Prescott. He can't get it done in the playoffs yet. There's like nobody else. So the NFC is pretty wide open. So the Packers have to think, okay, do we bring back Rodgers and do we try to win with him? Or do we think that the next 5 years are going to be more easy to win a Super Bowl? Because we got to get rid of Rodgers and then we'll get some picks for it. Andrew Brent was on the Wings Things podcast yesterday. Oh, actually, it was Rich Eisen. He was on with Rich Eisen yesterday. And I think what you look at is it's going to be an emotional decision. It's going to be a decision that there's going to be some regret in, or you think there'll be some regret in. Because if you don't trade Aaron Rodgers, you're going to be like, well, what could we have got for him? But if you do trade Aaron Rodgers, you're going to be wondering how, like, Denver, whoever plays all season. But the Packers, if you do look at it, they are in a win-win. They are in a win-win. They are either going to have Rodgers next year, or they're going to have a boatload of picks. Unless Rodgers retires, then it kind of screws you. But here's Andrew Brandt describing it on Rich Eisen's show yesterday.
So walk me through how this does work, what the mechanics are, if they do in fact part ways and he wants to keep playing as he should. What do you think?
Well, Matt LaFleur said he had a long conversation yesterday or Monday. Mm-hmm. And I really would love to be a fly on the wall, because if I'm representing Aaron,
yeah,
I'm saying, what's the plan now? Well, we want Aaron back. When? Like, for how long? You want to lame duck? When do you want to go to Jordan? Well, because they don't want to answer that question. And I think Aaron's got to know the plan, and this puts a lot of pressure on the Packers. You know, forget cap. We'll work around the cap.
Right.
We're going to commit to you more than 2022. I mean, again, taking away the retirement question, if that's the case, I can see him staying. But if the case is, hey, we got to go to Jordan and you waited 3 years, let's just play this year out. I don't know if Aaron Rodgers wants that. So then the decision is, all right, let's find a home. And if we get to that, then Aaron's very involved. And what about Denver? And what about this team? And what about that team? Do the right thing by Aaron, get the best package. You know, all those things come into play. But I continue to get back to the question is, and this was the question a year ago. You take a first-round quarterback, he's going to play. He's not going to be flipped. He's not going to back up forever. He's going to play. Hell, even Johnny Manziel played. So when is Jordan Love going to play? I dealt with this for 3 years, 15 years ago, where Aaron's camp was saying, is he ever going to play? And Brett's camp was saying, I don't like coming to work every day and sitting with my replacement. So this is a lot to manage, and the Packers have to decide how much they want to go through this.
What's Gutekunst thinking right now, do you think?
You know, I keep going to that image, Rich. April, you know, the pandemic draft, everyone's in their home and basement with their kids. I keep going to that image of a smiling Brian Gutekunst and a smiling Matt LaFleur. They traded up for Jordan Love. So I get it. You got the best player in the league on your team. But what's the plan there? I don't think they want to waste that draft pick. I don't. I know Gutekunst comes from the Ted Thompson disciple of, you know, live and die by your draft picks. So I think it's just fascinating that we have these two forces right now. And if, again, I keep getting back to my premise, Aaron's got to know the plan. And the plan is all in on Aaron? Great. The plan is let's just run it back a year and then Jordan? I don't know if he wants that.
That's Andrew Brandt with Rich Eisen. So the situation they've set themselves up in now could be a win-win. Either Rodgers comes back or you get a bunch of picks. I guess it could also be a lose-lose if Jordan Love sucks. So there's also that wild card in the whole process. Bill's in Iron River, 414-799-1250. What's happening, Bill?
Good morning, Bart. How are you today?
Good morning, Bill.
I don't... Do you recall... I don't think you were born yet when the John Hadel trade went down.
Was that, like, in the 70s?
Yeah.
No, I'm 1984 is when
Dan Devine
emerged into this world.
Dan Devine traded a boatload of drafts to the Rams for a worn-out John Hadel. And I think a lot of Packer fans might be thinking that's what, like, Rodgers wants to go to Denver. They think Denver's going to do that. Denver knows that's where Rodgers wants to go, so... I think that's going to minimize the number of drafts that the Packers could expect to get from the Broncos, to be honest with you. I'm not going to address whether or not I'd like to see him gone. That's another issue. But I just think a lot of people are thinking we're going to get a bunch of drafts for Rodgers, and I don't think that's going to be the case. Like Toby said, the Packers could choose not to trade him, but I would be concerned that we may not get as much for Rodgers as we probably should. Well, when I say we, I mean the Packers, of course.
We're a we show, Bill.
Yeah.
We're a we show.
Okay. Well, thanks for taking my call. Have a good day.
Yeah. Thanks, Bill. Yeah. If we're gonna do a radio show on the Packers and we can't say we, then we're not gonna do a radio show. We're a we show. We live and die with this team. We didn't get it done on Saturday. We just lost our offensive coordinator to the Broncos. We. The John Hadel trade. I've got an article here from the ever popular thegruelingtruth.com that lists some of the worst trades in Packers history or NFL history. And they call it one of the biggest panic trades ever. Six games into the 1974 season, John Hadel was traded for the Packers acquired him. They gave up 2 first rounders, 2 second rounders, and a third rounder. So, yeah, I mean, I get that would be a decent haul for Rodgers at this point, although I even think you want more. You ask people what the starting point should be, and they say 3 first rounders and players. Man, that's a lot to trade for one guy, though. Are we thinking too highly of what, like Rodgers? Of course, he's going to win back-to-back MVPs, but then there's a question of, well, how long is he going to be there? Is Denver, what if it's just 1 year? Because Rodgers could then retire or go somewhere else unless they lock him into a contract. Do you trade 3 first-round picks, a couple of seconds, and a player for 1 year of Aaron Rodgers? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. Other worst picks, other worst trades that they have just to follow up the article, the Chargers trade for Ryan Leaf, the Cowboys trade of Herschel Walker to the Vikings, of course, and then when the Saints traded, like their entire draft pick for Ricky Williams. That was in 1999. I do remember watching that, and that was just wild. I couldn't even understand what was happening. They traded their whole draft for Ricky Williams. It was awesome. Pete is in Franklin, 799-1250. What's up, Pete?
Good morning, sir.
What's up, Pete?
Not much. I just want to give you a call about the Packers this past weekend. Actually, hadn't been to a game in probably 15, 16, 17 years and had a chance for some tickets. So I took our boys their first game. And very cool. Never been to a night game. Very cool to be there. We sat up in the seventh deck or something, the new seats. Not big on the heights thing, but once we were there, they were fine. The only thing I wanted to mention is that, you know, we always see LaFleur on defense. He's doing the whole good to get the crowd going, right? And on offense, at times you see him kind of quieting people down. I don't know if you guys have talked about it. If you have this week and I missed it, I'm sorry. But they have this whole thing now. Silence is golden. Please. Oh, they have these
or like men at work almost, or something?
Men, please, quiet, please. Men at work, yes. Workers on site or something. And it's like, you know, I'm all for, I think Packer fans, it was very regimented, very structured, very, here's how you should cheer. And I think as a playoff game, people should be freaking out, going nuts. And I think Packer fans know well enough when to dial it down because Rodgers is coming to the line and they're calling the play. And after the play, let people keep freaking out. This was a whole thing. Then it became, the San Francisco has the ball and they want it quiet. You know what to do. It's like, what? What are we doing here? Come on, guys. So, you know, I get it during the regular season when a playoff game, let people freak out and just get crazy. And it just was very controlled. That's all. So.
I think the, Pete, thanks for the call. I think the reason for that is they want to make sure, obviously they can hear what's going on offense. But, yeah, if you go to a game and you're kind of told to be restricted a little bit, I think that might like, well, can I cheer here? I'm pretty wound up. Can I cheer here? That is interesting. I am kind of tired of seeing Matt LaFleur try to pump up the crowd. I mean, I get it. He's trying to pump up the crowd. He's talked a lot more about the crowd than any coach I can remember ever around here. Packers, Brewers, Bucks, or otherwise, talking about the crowd situation. And he always wants them to be louder. I still think on the whole, our crowd is too reactionary. I mean, you watch some of these other games. One of the problems with our crowd, and this part I get, is that we're just so damn nervous all the time, especially like on Saturday. We're just so nervous because we've seen them lose so many dumb ways that we're just so, so nervous. So the Packers, they almost have to win before the crowd can be like themselves again, because otherwise it's just so tentative. And I talked about this during the Bucks run. The crowd at first, it was like, come on, guys. You watch some of these other arenas, and they're going crazy. And I think that now that the Bucks have won, whatever playoff run we see this year will be more, I think it'll be better because that tension is gone.
Well, and I think that Bucks crowd, when it started getting down to it, the games I was able to go to, it was pretty raucous. Game 3, Game 6 especially was as loud as it could be. I think, you know, you get some of those wins out of the way. I can't really speak for Packers games. I've been to a couple, and the environment was fun, and I thought the crowd was decently loud. But I just think it's, you know, it's part of the thing with Lambeau Field that maybe you don't get the crowd noise that you would want. You don't have a thing like Arrowhead where you can kind of keep some of the sound in, or you don't have like the Seahawks stadium where it's got those half dome things that keep the sound in to try and make it a little bit louder. But I mean, I've seen reports too that Aaron Jones was saying that numerous players have said that Lambeau's one of the loudest stadiums, even though, you know, at times we'll complain about the crowd noise at Lambeau. And, you know, it does get frustrating though, if you go to a game and it's your first time going to a game in a long time, or, you know, even if you're a regular, and they're trying to constantly tell you how to fan. Like, if you're not intelligent to understand, and especially during a playoff game, like he was saying, if you're not intelligent enough to understand that, look, when they're on offense, be quiet, I'm sure the people around you can help. I don't think you need the large video board telling everyone exactly what to do.
I would say that with the Packers and what they are facing, if everything's on the table, we can talk more about the disadvantage of Lambeau as a home field environment. I don't like, does it help? I mean, they're 7-7 in their last 14 playoff games. It's not as loud as these other stadiums. The weather seems to be more of a neutralizer than anything. I don't know. I mean, if we're gonna talk about everything, we can talk about everything. Lambeau Field, the mystique is surely gone. Teams know they can come in here and win. Yeah, that sucks.
It does suck for Packers fans. And, you know, you always want to have Lambeau Field as this place that no one wants to come and play, but it seems like the Packers don't want to play there when it gets into January. And, you know, I think that's what happens when you play in a cold weather environment, that the elements are going to play a factor. You have the snow in the second half on Saturday and the cold, obviously, throughout. And I don't think Aaron Rodgers has a problem throwing the ball in the cold, but it's just not conducive to throwing the ball in general when it's that cold and then it gets snowy and the elements become involved. It's just not conducive to that. Just like, you know, we've kind of gotten on Buffalo at times of, you understand that a couple games a year in Buffalo, one or two games a year, is going to be almost unthrowable with how cold it's going to be, how windy it's going to be, and yet their team was only able to pass the football. And when you look at this Packers team, they lose A.J. Dillon, and it seemed like they had no ability to continue to run the football. And I think they still should have found a way to do it. I think Aaron Jones is a really good back, but losing A.J. Dillon I don't think can be overstated in that game, because I think their game plan was to be able to have that lead and then to be able to just sprinkle the two of them together and grind it out the rest of the game and get it done on the ground. And losing A.J. Dillon, they kind of lost that threat up the middle. And I think they need to, if they're going to continue playing like the level that they're doing and getting number one seeds and top seeds in the playoffs, they need to build a better running game, or they need to be a little bit more consistent with it. They need to be a little more committed to it.
414-799-1250. You can tweet us, 1250 AM The Fan. More on the Packers. I want to take a quick 2-minute timeout. Talk about that Bucks game last night and how Giannis was about as nonchalant as you can be after a bad loss. Cleveland's a good young team, but they got their butts whooped. We'll talk more Packers as well. 414-799-1250. I'm Bart. That's Toby on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The last time you had chicken at a press conference,
that yes,
went everywhere.
Really?
I think it was Memphis. I believe it was Memphis.
Mm-hmm. Was it Memphis?
Yeah.
Memphis?
So whatever chicken breakdown you want to give us and how.
Next question.
Yeah, I don't know what chicken they are. I just saw them in my locker room. Somebody got them for me, so they're good though.
So we know that Giannis likes chicken. So he celebrated the NBA Finals. The next day, he went to the drive-thru, got a 50-piece for his 50-piece. He ate chicken later in the season, earlier, I should say, and then he just brought a bucket of chicken wings to the press conference. The Bucks did not play well last night. They had a lead early. They were up 9 after the first quarter. I really thought it was going to be like Bucks and cruise control. They were shooting well. Connaughton was shooting well. Portis was hitting them. And I thought, all right. Because this was kind of a big game, at least for the Cavs. Cavs are trying to prove their worth again. The Cavs have built something. After LeBron just traded for all these dudes and then left the Cavs with the spare parts, they've rebuilt themselves back. They actually now have a slightly better record than the Bucks. Cavs are 30-19. Bucks are 30-20. Cavs win yesterday in Cleveland, 115-99. Giannis was pretty succinct describing what happened after the game.
We suck. Play bad. They made shots. They played good. They played better than us.
It was the same team. I think the first game when we played them, it wasn't easy. I think we beat them down the stretch. They were up. Yeah, they made threes. Crowd was involved. Played good defense. Show crowd. Rebound the ball. They had 10 offensive rebounds the first half. Got 15, 13, whatever turnovers in the first half. We don't play the best basketball. And second half, whenever we try to, you know, get a play, get ourselves going, you know, they were knocked down a three or an L1 or transition bucket. So we wasn't able to, you know, get back to the game.
So he went into a little more detail, but the opening part of that answer, I saw Eric Name of The Athletic tweet this out. Again, here's Giannis.
We suck. Play bad. They made shots. They played good. They played better than us.
I mean, that's all you have to say about that game. And so I saw Eric, he tweeted that and said, yeah, that's pretty much it. I mean, I'll write more at The Athletic, but what more is there to say? Giannis kind of nailed it there in 15 words. Yeah, Cavs played well last night. Cavs have a good young team. They are hungry. Not that the Bucks aren't, but this is what happens when you win a title and then you play a team that's hungry. They throw everything at you, and the Cavs won by 16 last night. And the Cavs are right there in the mix, and Giannis mentioned that after the game as well. And the Bucks are in an interesting spot here because it does seem like they are winning the national TV games and they're losing some of the other ones. The Bucks right now are 30-20. I think that's fine. But where the Bucks are at right now is right in the mix of all of it. What if I were to tell you that right now the Bucks are the 5 seed in the East? You'd be like, whoa, we're better than that, aren't we? The Bucks are 2 games back of the 1 seed. Everything 1-6 is jumbled up in such a way I don't know that it's been this tight ever. The Heat, with another massive game from PJ Tucker, which is like, please stop. You're making us look really dumb. Or please keep it up. You're making the Bucks look really dumb. But the Heat right now, they're the 1 seed in the East. They have a half game lead over the Bulls, who the Bucks just beat. And then it's the Cavs. Now, Bucks are a half game back of the Cavs, but right now the top 3 seeds in the East are the Heat, Bulls, and Cavs. And then it's the Nets, Bucks, and Sixers. And then you've got Charlotte. Boston's the 8th seed. Boston might be making some moves, like some shocking moves. I don't know if they move on from Jaylen Brown or do they choose Tatum over Brown? You'd probably think so, but who knows? Who knows with Boston? It's not working there. Toronto, Washington, Knicks and Hawks, they're still on the outside looking in. But all those teams that I just mentioned, from 1 down to 12, there's only 8.5 games that separate all of them. So the Bucks are, you know, 2 games away from the 1 seed. Bucks go on like a 4-game win streak, you might be the 1 seed. But the Bucks go on a 4-game losing streak, you can find yourself down to the 8 or 9 seed. It is that tight right now. So interesting there. They lose. They're the 5 seed again. It's interesting to look at, and it's interesting how many times I'm going to say the word interesting, but I would not really dive into the standings and be like, all right, here's what the matchups could be until maybe the end of March. But right now, yeah, you win a couple of games, you're the 2 seed. You lose a couple of games, you're the 7 seed. So the Bucks sit at 30-20 at this point. Now, for those of you that say, you know what, the Bucks, I like the Bucks. I want to go to a Bucks game. When's their next game? Well, their next game, and this just happened to the Bulls recently, is ESPN put them on TV, but they have a doubleheader, and the doubleheader's Eastern Conference teams, so they gave Chicago a game at 9 o'clock at night, which seems wild. Well, that's what's happening with the Bucks. The Bucks play the Knicks on Friday, and the game's not until 9 o'clock, and it is a home game, so Friday night, 9 o'clock home game. So take care of yourselves, because there'll be a lot of time to get downtown and enjoy some of the environment there, and then maybe some time afterwards as well. So that's just an update on the Bucks. Marquette wins as well last night. If you're in a real basketball mood, we'll talk to John Wachilis about these teams as well, because they are both, them and the Badgers, playing very, very well at this point, both ranked in the top 25, and Marquette just cannot lose right now. That at 7:40. More on the Packers, more with you. Nathaniel Hackett, out. You thought, all right, if there's going to be a coaching change, there could be anything, but the first one will surely be Maurice Drayton. He's still employed by the Green Bay Packers. Nathaniel Hackett not. He is the head coach of the Denver Broncos. That happening this morning. What does that mean for Aaron Rodgers? More next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.